I think that's on. Yes, I'm also head of intercultural studies at TABOR, and I've been there since 2004, training people to be equipped for intercultural engagement here in Australia and beyond. So thank you for this opportunity to share with you this morning. It's good to be back here. I've been here several times, one of which was a children's talk on Australian culture. Some of you may remember that, but we had a lot of fun that day with the kids. So I'm here sort of representing Global Interaction, which is one of the member organisations of our movement. And I'm not sure how much you know of Global Interaction, but I'm not going to give you the history. But the history is significant because it's part of who we are as a movement. In sharing this morning, I am very conscious that you're in this period of transition. I'm also conscious that as you are thinking about your place and where you're going, you've got to focus on the local community. So I'm very conscious of that this morning, presenting something around the global. But these two elements are not competitive. They're both ands. Acts 1:8 talks about that. We're going forth from Jerusalem into Samaria, into Judea, and to the ends of the earth. It's part of the same movement. It's like throwing a stone into a pond and watching the ripples. So it's a both and this morning. But also, as I've said in the newsletter, I believe that in some ways, what is happening overseas can be a mirror back into our context here. It can add some learnings that we can feed back here. Because a lot of the global interaction work are in contexts where there are less than 1% Christians. Right? So they're in a minority. And in many ways, Australia is heading into that position of Christians being in a minority. Their voice is sort of being silent. So by looking and learning from an overseas context can help us actually understand things here in our own culture that can help us, build us and encourage us. And so that's probably the position that I'm coming this morning, knowing where you're at as a community and as you're thinking about and discerning this next phase in your life. But this fits into... Yep, there we go. This fits into a core value of who we are as Baptists. Mission is one of those four core values. Now, I don't know how many have looked at the values website that has been produced in the last 12 months, but it might be something you might want to explore. What does it mean to be Baptist? And one of those key features is mission. As I said, like in the mould of Acts 1:1-8. Oops, gone the wrong way. Here we go. All right. So we're in this tradition, which is sort of the modern missionary movement, which started by a Baptist cobbler. He was a shoemaker. He was an everyday, down-to-earth guy, working away, caught the vision of the Great Commission. And out of that came a desire to go to India. We're living in that history. We're part of that movement as Baptists. And he started the modern missionary movement that has gone all around the world. He was a catalyst for that because of his reading of Scripture. Now, the Aussies got involved early on, and Adelaide was really the base for starting Global Interaction. I don't know how many of you know that, but Adelaide is actually the starting point of Global Interaction back in 1865. But it was not until 1882 that these five women, who are known as the Barley Loaves, headed to East Bengal. Now, several of them were from different states, as you can see, but two were from South Australia. But the energy came from this state, which I think is a real miracle, that here in Adelaide, we birthed a movement that continues today in amongst nine least reached people groups and in outback Australia. These groups, as I said, all basically have less than 1% Christian. Right? They are in the challenging places. There's not a sufficient number of Christians to even reach their own people. There are areas where they're not even going to hear about Jesus. And so this is where our work is focused. And it's going to take some time to see that. But also, as you'll see, it will take us into positions of difference and diversity, which is this mirror reflecting back. We're going to have to grapple with diversity. So at the moment we have these six units that are coming out of South Australia in this movement, which is quite incredible. It's about 12% of the global interaction workforce is coming out of SA, when we have a population in the Baptist world of about 7%. So we're punching above our weight. And we're supporting these workers in some of these spots. And we've got another few in the pipeline as well, which is exciting still. Even in a post-COVID world, God is still putting on people's heart to consider these least reached people groups. Of course, you know Luke and Rachel on this, because Luke's come here a couple of times. They're due for home assignment, so hopefully you'll get to see the family in the second half of the year. They're just planning that now. So, and hopefully they'll get through all the quarantine and be able to enter the country in their desired plan. You'll also be aware of David and Susie Hayden, who are in the top, your right-hand corner, who are working amongst the OWL, which is one of your other interests from this community. They arrived in Malawi in January. So after a 3 to 5 year journey, they've finally reached there as a state. We've been able to see God provide for them, which is very exciting indeed. And they're now getting into their language and culture learning. So we've got a movement that is happening dealing with diversity. And so what we're desiring with Global Interaction is to see vibrant faith communities following Jesus in their own distinctive ways. Vibrant faith communities following Jesus in their own distinctive ways. Because nothing matters more than sharing God's love for the world. And that involves us, Spirit-led people, contextualizing the good news in every place. For you at Norton Summit, that's our vision here too. To encourage you to think about what's a vibrant faith community, active, following Jesus in their own distinctive ways. And so that's our vision of what we're wanting to see in these least reached people groups, what we're wanting to see in Australia. So dealing with diversity is a core part of this movement. Our workers face it every day, whether it's in Cambodia eating deep-fried spiders, whether it's eating pounded yam every day in the African continent, right? Whether it's dealing with different religious practices, different festivals, whether it's dealing with different ways of interacting, and of course, then there's language, learning a language that's not necessarily written down, and grappling with all that involves. And so as I come this morning, I'm sharing out of my journey of 30 plus years. And if you add my time as a child in Papua New Guinea, it's probably almost 40, 50 years of dealing with difference, of living with difference, whether it's in Papua New Guinea or Nigeria, where I was involved in theological education, or whether it's short-term trips since, or whether it's studying my PhD around cultural intelligence and clergy here in South Australia. Dealing with difference is a big part of our world. I'm also in an international marriage of 30 plus years, and I have a son born overseas and a son with disability. So living with diversity has been a big part of my experience. It's interesting how Phil I don't know how much he knew. Didn't see my emails during the week. God is speaking. Again, what do we sing? Waymaker, miracle worker. God's putting these things together. He didn't. Thinking about this morning is living with diversity. So as I come to God's word, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. I pray that you open our hearts. We thank you for the way you've gone ahead and prepared that already with Phil. and Phil's introduction. Father, you're a God at work. It's great to see you working, even if we can't really see it, but we can. And we want to thank you for that. Speak through your word for those who have gone before and who provide examples for us, for our context. In your name we pray. Amen. So our workers face difference. They face challenges. They live with diversity every day. And thinking about where does it bring the, how does the gospel come into that setting? But that's no different for us, is it? The challenge of diversity to social cohesion is playing out in our society incredibly today. Whether it's ethnicity, and as Phil rightly said, that's probably where we focus our attention. But it's actually much bigger than that. It's with subcultures. It's with secular, those who have no belief in Jesus and think the church should not exist and that Christianity is fake and not relevant. Right? To thinking about those with disability, those in different socioeconomic categories to our own. Diversity is a big part of us. Now, we could spend hours talking about where we're seeing some of those challenges, whether it's in social media like Israel Folau experienced, whether we with the Margaret Court discussions around her Australia Day Honour, the conversion bill in Victoria, the whole thing around Black Lives Matter. Right? We're not exempt from that. So diversity is a big question for us as a society. The impact of diversity is marginalisation, polarisation and division. But what does this mean for God's people? How do we come to deal with this diversity? And so the challenge is providing actually an opportunity for us to participate dialogically in our debates around the table at a local, regional, national level, but also to provide a witness to an alternative pathway around unity and diversity. Let me share a significant moment in the life of our early church in managing division. So if you've got your Bibles, I haven't got it on the screen. I probably should have had it on the screen. My apologies. But I've got a few of the verses in this. But Acts chapter 15. And I think as a community in this world where we're thinking, it's great to go back to the book of Acts and think about this minority who were dealing with the majority who were Jews. Right? They were a minority. They were a movement, a sect in there. And so it gives us some understanding about how we can respond in our context. So Acts 15 is one of those for me. From verse 1. Now in the Jerusalem church had a problem. And it was because God was at work. God was doing some incredible things. Gentiles were coming to Christ. So what are we going to do with these Gentiles? When we as Jews always thought our culture is superior. We thought we were the treasured possession. We were better than others. And suddenly, we've got these Gentiles coming in. People who we saw as unclean or impure. They weren't part of who we are. And so, within the church, there was this tension. So, Acts 15, verse 1. Some men came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the brothers. Unless you are circumcised. Circumcision is the practice within the church, within the Jewish community, as a way of identifying with the Abrahamic covenant. It was part of their chosenness, and particularly for men. So here they were saying, unless you are circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. So therefore, here is the Jews thinking that these faith seekers of non-Jewish descendants, to say they are saved, they need to be circumcised. But this would have been very difficult for them, wouldn't it? For Gentile men in a society in which their pride is connected to their gender and social cultural heritage, the reality of being circumcised would not only be physically painful, but also humiliating. So this was going to produce a stumbling block to people coming to faith. So here there was the practice of assimilation, which is basically come, Yes, you can be part of us as long as you are like us. Right? Unless we take on your views, we won't engage you, or we don't like you, or you're cut out. So the church was facing this division, tension. So verse 2, this brought Paul and Barnabas into sharp dispute and debate with them. So Paul and Barnabas were appointed along with some other believers to go up to Jerusalem to see the apostles and elders about this question. The church sent them on their way, and as they travelled through Phoenicia and Samaria, they told how the Gentiles had been converted. The news made all the brothers very glad, because the good news of Jesus was spreading, as it is around the world. As we are seeing in the Yao community today, there are Muslim believers from Muslim background who are finding Jesus in very powerful ways, and particularly dreams. Right? When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, for whom they reported everything God had done through them. And so there was this tension. So they had the courage to sit down and discuss it. There was a sense of exploring it. They didn't shy away. I think that's the first thing. Let's not shy away from the conversation. What I want to leave you with as you're thinking about this passage, there's so much we can unpack here. But I just want to see the principles they used to process that division, their perspective on it. Right? To help us to think about how does God want us to respond when we are confronted by difference. Whether it's an idea, a practice, a food, etc. What's God wanting of us as followers of God? So the first one to speak and address this question that we see presented in verse 5. The Gentiles must be circumcised and required to obey the law. So they met in verse 6, to consider, the apostles and elders met to consider this question. And after much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. Now, this is significant, because who's the first one to speak? Peter. He had gone through a rapid transformation from Pentecost, but that didn't awaken him to the Gentiles. Even though the Gentiles were there that day, he saw them come to Christ and be filled with the Spirit, but somehow didn't connect on how to engage with them. It took a dream in Acts 10 for God to give him the 4x2, as I talk about, the clip around the ears, to say, Peter, wake up. It's not about impurity. It's about who I see. It's not about cleanliness. Now, Peter, and again, what have we been singing? God is our way maker, miracle worker. Well, this is actually a miracle. Peter's transformation is an incredible miracle. Because as he was having that dream, within 24, 48 hours, there was a knock at the door of these three men from Cornelius who came seeking Peter. Now, how they knew Peter was the one? Why did they pick that time? But actually, God had gone ahead and awoken Peter to be ready for that call that came from a man who was actually seeking Christ, a Roman centurion. He wanted to know more about the Father. God heard this guy, Cornelius's cry, and had put in a plan to match them. No wonder Peter was passionate on this topic because of this transformation. But it took a dream to awaken him and to recognize. Now, Peter suffered a lot of critique in this, and we haven't got time to unpack that. But it's interesting to go back through Acts 10 and 11 to see that critique that he got, because how dare he do it? And as in Acts 11, verse 2. And when Peter went to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, you went in the house of the uncircumcised men and ate with them? You went in? How dare you? You naughty boy. What are you doing that? You're making yourself impure, unclean. You don't engage with them. So Peter then sat down and told him the story of the miracle, of what happened and how God had spoken. And so in verse 18, when they had heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, even to the Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life." So Peter is transformed. And so we get these words in that he shares. Then God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. He did not discriminate between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear? No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved, just as they are. Here, Peter, and this is the first point that I want to encourage us, is to be in step with Jesus. Be in step with Jesus. Because being in step in Jesus puts the issues into perspective. And I like verse 10 about putting on necks of Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear, as a way of managing that. But here he is, being in step with Jesus. So that's Peter. Incredible miracle. And this is why I get so excited about the gospel. It brings this transformation in how we see others. Then James gets up, who's probably a quieter leader, a bit later on, and then having listened to Barnabas and Paul talk. And so verse 13, when they finished, James spoke up. And James then takes them to the second area of processing this, is to the scriptures. Right, so he says in verse 14, Simon has described to us how God at first showed his concern by taking from the Gentiles a people himself. The words of the prophets are in agreement with this. So the next way of responding is they went to the scriptures. Now the passage that is referred to here is Amos 9, 11 and 12, where it talks about David's return, fallen tent being rebuilt. Its ruins will be rebuilt and I will restore it. The rest of humanity may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who bear my name. So they went back to seek confirmation out of the scriptures. And that was under James's leadership. And so at the end of it, it is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for Gentiles who are turning to God. So the use of scripture played a part. And then we see that as a result of that discussion, they send a letter, they compile a letter to the wider movement, and to be taken with Paul and Barnabas, but also Judas and Silas out. And so they wrote in this letter these expectations. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. So the third test is listening to the Spirit. So they were in step with Jesus' perspective. They looked at the scriptures and they listened to the Holy Spirit. And to us, not so burden you with anything beyond the following requirements. Now these were elements that were, in a sense, not honouring God. We think they are rules, but they were things that were about the well-being of the person. So to abstain from food sacrificed to idols, we'll see that about God's honour, isn't it? God's name and protecting God's name. From blood, which is a hygiene, health perspective. From the meat of strangled animals and from sexual immorality. So these aren't just some rules, but there were some boundaries being set in this process still. It wasn't an open slather. It wasn't just to include everything and everyone. Right? It was actually bringing things in that were helpful for the community. It was not about circumcision. There's no mention here of circumcision. So the community had come together, thinking about Jesus' perspective, thinking about the scriptures, thinking about the people, and listening to the Spirit to come to this decision. Now, this is what we encounter when we're thinking about going into other places. This is the diversity that we see in managing that, from those that our organisation, and I'll give you a couple of examples that just help you to understand this a little bit more. Again, for the mirror, looking back, looking into our context. Because in a sense, what does this mean for our world? And I'll give you two examples. One is from Thailand, obviously a Buddhist culture. But that our folk have had to work with believers to find, to work through what do they accept within their culture, what do they modify, what do they reject. Now, one of those festivals is Loy Krathong, right, which is a holiday where families come together and release small boats down the river or a waterway to carry away bad luck and bad karma. So it's almost like a forgiving exercise in forgiveness. And they do that annually, generally in October. They do away with. So the believers have decided not to reject it, but to actually participate. But they do it with a difference. Anyone can spot the difference? The cross. Yep. They place a cross on their floats instead of the incense sticks, specifying that Jesus is the one who has paid for their wrongdoings. A lovely little example of thinking about difference in terms of expression coming from their festivals prior to encountering Christ. I think it's a lovely little example of what the church here was doing. Now, if you think about the outcome of the decision here, would we exist today if they had made a totally different decision? I don't think we would be. The church would have shut down. The movement would have just remained within Jewish culture. That decision opened up to what we're experiencing today. The impact of those leaders gathering under Christ had this incredible impact. The other example is from the Yao, which I think is another little one. And this is from Mel Downs. I don't know if some of you who are interested in the Yao, Mel Downs has written this book, Jump Into the Unknown, about her experiences of what it's like to go into a context of diversity and grapple with it. But Mel and her husband have been there for a number of years. And she told a story recently of meeting a group of women to explore Bible studies and sharing life. So she prepared a session related to the story of the prodigal son. However, as they began to go through the story, it became clear that what the Yao women were really thinking about was very different to what Mel had prepared. For the Yao woman, the prodigal son was about parenting. About the lost son. The prodigal son is the son who turned his back on his father and heritage and went off. Found himself in a situation that was very difficult, in a famine, and eventually came home and the father gave the feast to welcome him back. So the Yao woman was focusing about parenting, while Mel had highlighted repentance and rebellion. Repentance and rebellion. Even the pigs were not seen as real pigs to the Yao women, but they were understood to represent the evil spirits of anger, hate and fear. Had the story continued, the Yao woman believed the older brother, consumed with jealousy, would have ended up with the pigs haunted by the evil spirits. There was a good discussion and then the Yao woman took lessons from the story. But again, it's the importance of recognising their own cultural worldview in communicating the gospel. Something very different around the language that gets used. So how do we respond to diversity then? It's being in step with God, being in step with Jesus, the Holy Spirit and others. And how do we know that? Through the scriptures. So I encourage you as you are discerning As you're thinking about our context, as you're facing diversity and the questions around that, that we have a way of managing that and encouraging you to see that, of being in step with Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Encourage us, as Phil has done from Colossians as well, in this space. Maybe the transformation within, that in showing love to others, it's learning to manage that diversity. Father, overseas we grapple with that. Help us to grapple within our own context in a way that will honour you and allow people to encounter you. Pray for this community as it continues to reach out into its community and faces challenges and differences. Father, help them to find a way through in a way that will not put pressures and burdens on people, but open up ways for them to find Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. If you want to know more about this, we've got May Mission Month, which is picking up this theme around vibrant communities, right? So there's going to be a whole lot more material around this, and that may be very timely for you, thinking about how you're functioning as a community. If you want to know more about Global Interaction, we have a couple of publications. If you're interested, then see me afterwards. We also put out a news and prayer bulletin every 2 weeks, which is also available online if you're interested in supporting you. Happy to talk with you after. So thank you.